Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 28. And go ahead and stand up again. This is up and down. Up and down. We'll get to the John passage in just a second. And the reason I'm doing this is I'm not going to close out Matthew today or next week. I'm going to fill in some blanks here before we get to the Great Commission. Some things that have happened that John covers, which is why you'll see after the resurrection, part one. Okay, so verse 16 and 17 here. Then 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Let's go over to John's account, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. So John 20, 19 to 29. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad, and they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to him, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Unless I see his the handprints or his hand in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and they stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Father, as I approach your word this morning, may you speak to your sheep, your church, your people. Father, the things you'd have them to know from these passages, Father, from the things that that you have me to share from the scripture, Father, may your Holy Spirit teach us, lead us into the truth of your word, Father. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. Thank you, Father, for the accomplished work of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Looking at this passage and studying it this week, and it's must have been quite an amazing sight to see Jesus appear before the disciples the evening of his resurrection. They had known him to be dead, not to have risen. They had heard testimony of the risen Christ. The women had seen his resurrection. Here they are behind doors, shut, locked behind locked doors with fear of the Jews. And fear of the Jews is a common thing because they ran the culture. Boy, if you were not in agreement with the leadership of the time, you were either ousted out of the synagogue or certainly persecuted. And so there's great fear there. Matter of fact, John chapter 9, backing up here, remember when the blind man was healed from his sight and his parents, they were questioning the parents. Verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Man, imagine what it was like. There's one synagogue in town, and you're not allowed to participate in the whole worship of God in their culture. You're ostracized. Nobody's going to even do business with you, probably. It's going to affect you that much. And so a great fear of not being included. John 19, verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Boy, you didn't want to tell anybody you were a believer in Jesus. Right? For fear of the Jews. What does it say here? They took away or asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. Even some of the disciples would come to Jesus by night. Why? Why not walk up to him in the daytime and say, I believe in you? Because again, fear of the Jews. Now certainly there's going to be great fear in this room at when Jesus appears, since Christ had been crucified, and if they did it to him, we're next. Certainly Peter had already dealt with this three times. You're one of them. He goes, no, I'm not. You know, the fear of being caught is being, the way hasn't even started yet, what they called the way. Just being tied to Jesus was great fear. They killed him. And I'm next. And so where's the best way to hang? The first day they're in the locked doors. 8 days later, the Bible says the same thing. They're still behind locked doors, folks. Can you imagine that? I don't want to read anything into this, but can you imagine? Hey, John, you were apparently friends with the high priest somewhere. You know, he mentions that. Why don't you go get us something to eat? I ain't going outside. I can just see it, right? They're waiting outside that door. They've already identified some of us. They've seen us hanging around. They know the women. Oh, let's hide in here, right? So there's great fear. Of course, the author of peace comforts their fear in chapter 20, verse 19. What does Jesus say here? Let me read that whole verse again. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which is, of course, Sunday evening, folks. By the way, there's the reason the church worships on Sunday. Because we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, not the death of Christ. Okay, I just want to correct some weirdness out there. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now, he didn't knock on the door and they didn't answer it that way. He shows up. Now, I don't know what kind of body this is that he has. Certainly, it's still a veiled body, folks, because you still couldn't see the full glory of God. These men are still, they don't have a new body. So it's still a veiled body. But it is a body that is not contained by matter. I just find that interesting. It's a body that can eat. We'll see later. But he says, peace be with you. John 14, 27. Go there. You'll hear back in John 14, Jesus says, we're talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. In adult Sunday school. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay, now John 16:33. Jump over to John 16:33. We'll see here in this verse, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace. Okay? In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now John 20:19, John 14:27, John 16:33, Philippians 4:7. Let's go here. Now I'll stop here before I go to the other verses. This is a certain kind, this, in all three of those verses so far, I've given you a word for peace, which is the word irene. It's spelt E-I-R-E-N-E, irene. And that word means peace, quietness, but it means rest, folks. Okay? He's not saying shalom. Because Hebrew shalom would have been, when I say peace and shalom, it deals with your welfare, your prosperity, your health. Okay? That peace, have a great life. That's a different kind of peace. Here, it's the word that means rest. So before I move on, I want to go back here into John chapter 14 again. Go back to John 14. And this is important that he uses this word when you get to this account in the scriptures. Okay, so John 14, I'm going to read it this way. Okay, verse 27. Rest I leave with you. Well, let me back up again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Rest I leave you. Okay, now that takes on a whole, when you think of peace, it's the same word for rest. Okay, so rest I leave you, my rest I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. The world can't give rest. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because you can rest in me now. Okay, that same John 16 verse 33. Let me go back to that verse. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have rest or peace. In the world you will have tribulation. What's the opposite of rest, folks? Tribulation. Okay? Turmoil, right? Just life is hectic. So this peace takes on a whole different word if we allow us to see that. Okay? So it says, you have truth, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The reason you can have rest is because I beat it. Okay? So with those and John 20:19, let's go to take a look at Philippians 4:7. Now all these verses I'm showing here use the same word for peace. Okay? So let's go to Philippians 4:7. This is a verse we all know. We've used it many times. Well, I'll back up here. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, or the irene of God, okay, so the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So the rest of God, which surpasses all understanding, okay, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Why can my heart and mind be guarded in Christ Jesus? Because I can rest. Okay, so that's the word there. Colossians chapter 3. Go to Colossians 3, verse 15. Let me back up, 14, but above all these things, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the rest of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called. Okay? These are important. Now, Romans 5:1, which we'll bounce in and out of periodically here, but Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Go there. And here's that word again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it could read this way. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have rest with God. Why can I have rest? Because I've already been justified. There's no more work for me to do. There's no more work for Christ to do. It's a finished work. Therefore, it would say, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have rest with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you'd think we'd get this, right? He would say in Ephesians chapter 2, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. You see why I just couldn't stop in Matthew and close this book out. This is great stuff. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, we'll read to 17 there. It says, for he himself is our, it's the same word, rest, peace. He's our rest, who once were far off, but have been brought back up here. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Same word. Keeps using that same word. Making, look at this. Thus making rest. They might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace. Same word. Okay? Rest to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You can see how this adds to just the word peace, okay? That's my point. But now the disciples here are here in this room, and they might be thinking at this point when he uses that word, just going, I can just see this. When he's thinking, you know, quietness, rest? What are you talking about, Jesus? He's just not saying, hi, be well, have prosperity, folks. You know, have peace. That's not what he's saying. These guys are terrified. And he comes in there and he goes, hey, guys, just rest. Take it easy. I got it all under control. That's what he said. I've overcome the world. I beat it. Just settle down, guys. There's nothing to be afraid of. Right? That's what he's saying to him. Okay? Just rest and go, wait a minute, Jesus. Don't you know who's out on the outside of that door? They might kill us. I could just see Jesus. Oh, really? Didn't I just die with the same people that you're trying to lock out? It's okay. Just rest. Just rest. Boy, you think we would get that through our thick head. Rest in what Christ has done. Just right by, he could have just as well said, guys, it's okay. It's finished. It's done. Just rest. I've accomplished the work. I've finished the work. Just rest. Just have peace. But notice how he does this. I just find this amazing. Look how he does. Look how he handles this. John chapter 20, go back there. What's the next thing that Jesus does? He doesn't just say, here, listen, peace be with you and take my word for it. What's he do? This is amazing. Okay, verse 20. Okay, so 20:20. That's a good place to go. And when he had said this, right after, peace be with you, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Well, why were they glad when they saw him? What does that mean? They had already seen him. Well, he did something there, right? He shows, listen, peace be with you. And you know why you can have peace? Look at this. There's a hole. Why don't you put your finger there? And there's a hole. Why don't you put your finger there? Oh, and look at this, right? Now, go over here. Go back to Thomas over in the next few verses when Thomas had said he wouldn't believe him unless what? Unless he can put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, jump down here. Jesus, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. You know, Jesus didn't show up with scar tissue, folks. Do you know where that spear went? Right into the heart sack. You gotta, just say, oh, listen, guys, you know, peace be with you. Look, Remember this? That's the nails they put here. Remember my feet? That's the nails. Look at this, Thomas. There's a hole here. And it goes, put your hand, it didn't say touch it. It said stick your hand in the hole. That hole goes all the way to the heart. You know what's missing in that picture? There's an open wound to the heart. What's missing? Say that again. It's not bleeding. Okay. Why? In some way, this is a glorified body, right? And Thomas goes, okay, here's the proof that you can give peace. You can give rest. I finished it. He's standing there with his wounds. What's the response of Thomas? My Lord and my God. And he falls on his face. All right? The whole reason Jesus kept the wounds to be seen was not for God. It's for his disciples. For us to read about. This was proof that he was dead and he is alive. That's why you can have rest. Jesus died. Why can I rest? He's alive. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. See, this account goes past the resurrection. So I couldn't just stop at the resurrection. He's alive. And so, it's his victory that allows for his peace. That's the point. He could have just went to glory and says it's finished and it would have been just as finished. But he allows himself into this room with the disciples who thought he was dead. Well, they saw the empty grave, but they hadn't seen proof of the resurrection. They didn't trust the women to start with. Remember they said they didn't believe him? Remember that? Oh, and these two guys on the road to Emmaus, yeah, they're part of us, but who knows what they saw? Listen, they never thought about the resurrected Lord, or they wouldn't be locked behind the door. They didn't get it yet, right? So we know all that. But now God's peace is a quality and a virtue that is desperately needed today in our culture. We need peace today in a world today that is so chaotic, it's fallen in the sewer faster than... It's amazing to me what it's done in 5 years. I can only imagine what this world would be like in 20. And even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But his victory over death, you know, this peace is a quality and it's a virtue that is desperately needed by the wicked, by the unsaved today. And not everybody's going to enjoy this peace. Not everybody's going to have this peace. What does God say about the wicked, you know, the unrepentant sinner? The one that does not come to Christ. Again, we could go back to Isaiah 59 and the first two verses, which I've used the last 2 weeks, this passage. But it bears saying again, especially verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Now that doesn't mean God doesn't hear you. He's looking for a certain thing to listen to. The wicked can't come to God and go on their own morals and tell God how wonderful they are, and you're nothing compared to you're not the sinner like your neighbor. He's after confession. He's after repentance. Turn to me. Then I'll listen to you. Praise God for the believer that has constant access to God today. Amen to that. But you look at 59:8, which Isaiah, there, 59:8. It says, the way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know what? Shall not know peace. Again, there's another word for rest. You're not going to know rest if you choose a life without Christ. You live a life without Christ, if you follow a life without Christ, that's not going to happen. Isaiah 48, look at Isaiah 48, verses 1 to 2. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel. I'm sorry. Let me take you to a different place first. Let's go to 48:22. Well, it starts in 48. It'll close out in verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for who? For the wicked. No rest for the wicked. Who's ever heard that? Wonder where they get that. There's no rest for the wicked. Galatians. Let's go to Galatians. Just because we can. Okay? Galatians chapter 5. You know, how many times we read these and say, well, God can't be serious about this. Huh? Certainly God wouldn't do this. Certainly not my Jesus. My Jesus would never do this. That's the God of the Old Testament. People, this is written in the New Testament. So verse 19, we see that 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Okay, you know what adultery is. You know what fornication is. Uncleanness would be any sexual perversion that continues. That would fall into anything like that. Listen to this. Because this indicts our culture, folks. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. All this fits with 2 Corinthians 6. Revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things, what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, my Jesus wouldn't do that. Yes, he will. For those who practice this, and you practice this lifestyle because you're not his child. A true believer is not going to continue to practice these things. Do you hear me? You might fall into them, but you can't continue in a life of practicing where it's enjoyment. If you fall into these and the Holy Spirit doesn't say, get out, get out, get out, get out, there's a problem. I'm just saying. But is not the Word of God all truth? Then he's not lying to us. Okay? He's not lying to us. Sin prevents true peace of mind for the wicked. Isaiah, back to Isaiah in Isaiah 57. When we get to verses 20 to 21 in that chapter, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. You ever seen a churning river or a churning ocean? It's not clear water. It's always muddy. But there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. God will not allow a wicked, unbelieving person. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about those without Christ. He's not going to ever let you find peace. That's why people try to fill that void for peace with so many things and they never get it. It can't be filled. It can only be filled with who? With Christ. He's the only one that God's ever given that any man or woman or child can find rest. It's not going to be found in any other way. Because Jesus is the one that came to bring peace. That was foretold about him back to Isaiah again, chapter 9, verse 6. What we use for the Christmas account. And in that passage, we see a prophecy about Christ. And of course, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And look at this, the Prince of Peace. He's the prince. He's from the household of peace. He's the prince of peace. Prophesied about him. Prophesied by Zacharias through his, talking about his son John. And go there to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. And specifically verse 79. Well, 70, we can jump up to 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. And you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God with which the day spring from on high has visited. I love that. Day spring, or what is it? What does that mean? The rising sun or the Messiah? It's another word for saying Messiah. From on high has visited us. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. So we see the ministry of Christ through the Holy Spirit. To guide our feet into the way of what? Peace or rest. Have you arrived at rest? Have you got there yet where you can totally say, I'm resting in Christ for all of it. Confident that I'm saved? Confident that I will not be lost. Confident that everything Christ has done, He's done, finished the work for me. I cannot be more saved today than I was yesterday. Tomorrow I can't be more saved. It's just as much finished. People, if you're forgiven in Christ, you're forgiven in Christ. You can't be more forgiven. And so there's even the heavenly host, Luke chapter 2, we use during the holiday season. Verses 8 through 14. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were greatly afraid. Boy, I can imagine that. Seeing something like that. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Rest and goodwill towards men. God is now pronouncing, you can have rest with me. You no longer have to strive to try to get to heaven. I've got you there. I paved the way. I finished the work. Boy, if we don't get this simple truth, we are working our whole life to try to make God love me more. And He loves you. You try to work your whole life to get saved more. You're saved if you're in Christ. You have the Spirit of God in you. He indwells you. You belong to His. You're His child. For how long? Forever. And so that was proclaimed by Jesus Himself. Again, we would go back to John 14:27, John 16:33. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. It was proclaimed even by the apostles. In Acts chapter 10, verse 36, we can go look at that passage. Acts 10:36. The word of which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace. Same word, through Jesus Christ. He is what? Lord of all. If anybody can give us peace, certainly Jesus. Peace that Jesus offers is ultimately peace with God Himself. It is, our God is the God of peace. That's what he is. Romans 15:33 declared that. You know, how many look at him as the God of peace? We look at him as the God who does things for us, or the God who answers prayer, but he's the God of peace, folks. That's huge. Romans 15:33. Let me get there. Read that again. I think we read it earlier. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. The God of rest. The same word again. But that word comes up a lot. A lot. He's a source of our peace. 15:13 right there. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see this Jesus being our peace. That peace has brought about. He makes peace with God. What's possible through that is our justification, our reconciliation, our atonement, all of it. All of it. But how do I get there? How do I get to this place of peace? This place of rest that every believer ought to have? Faith. Faith. Go back to our text. What does he tell Thomas? Okay? What does he declare to Thomas here? In the very end of that little passage. Verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have what? Believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Do I need to see the holes in Jesus' hands or his feet, or stick my hand into his side? Well, rest is entered into by faith. How many of you know that heaven's a real place? How do you know that? Convince me. But I don't read that. Huh? We're playing here. You got that, right? I'm not being serious. Okay. Oh, okay, I better read it. Yeah, but listen, how do I get the peace that you got? You tell me to believe, but you believe in this stuff. Have you ever seen it? Who said that? Why do you know that in your heart? What? Who's he? Okay, God, go ahead. Okay, what'd you say?
God opened my heart so I
could understand. Oh, open my heart so I can see. Go ahead. Somebody else? Okay, Eric?
God has given you the ability to conceive and imagine a place where there's no more weeping, no more pain, no more suffering. God has put that in your heart. It's real.
Okay, okay. You must have went to one of those Revelation Bible studies. Okay, somebody else. Go ahead. Nobody's went to the next verse yet, have they? And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Okay? But look at this. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Okay? So God has given us a certain amount of things to believe. Well, wait a minute, hold on. I didn't see him. I didn't see these things happen. What's Hebrews 11:1 say? I'm going way off my text now. Okay? Let's go to Hebrews 11:1. Let's just forego the notes now. And I know you smell the food, but just bear with me a little bit. Okay? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Who's seen heaven? How do you know that's real? How do I know that that's real? I believe it. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. Look at the verse. I just can't say I believe. Well, say that. Conviction. That's NESB, right? Uses the word conviction, right? So it would say, read it, Dan, out of the NESB.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Okay, so, and the King James would say the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, how do I know Jesus is who he says he is? How do I know any of this is true? How do I know the account with the disciples was true? How do I know that he's risen? How do I've not seen Jesus. Who's seen Jesus? If you say, I've seen him, I'm going to talk to you after the sermon. Say that again. How do I know that? Yes. But here's the thing. I know all these things are true, and so do you. Why? Look at this verse. Now faith, this is what comes with faith. Faith isn't just something I conjure up in my head for some scholastic purpose. That's more than that. All right? Faith is the substance. It has, I can touch it. Okay? It's something that's tangible. I can grab it. So I can read about heaven, hear about heaven, and it's just as real to me as if I'm looking at Dave and Kathleen sitting here, right? How do you know they're there? What if I told you they're not really here? Huh? Why wouldn't you believe it? Because you can see them. Faith does the same thing. How do I know heaven's real? Because I can see it. I can touch it. I can feel it. Wait a minute, Pastor Dan, what are you talking about? Look, it is the evidence of things not seen. I'm so convinced that everything Jesus tells me is true that it doesn't matter if I'm there. I don't have to see the holes in his hands. Blessed are those who believe and have not what? Seen. Okay? I don't have to see all these things in the physical eye because God gave me a supernatural faith to believe these things. And the Holy Spirit keeps telling me, that's true, that's true, that's true, that's true. And he seals me and walks me all the way into glory. That's true, that's true, that's true. And in the process, I'm kept. All this stuff. But it's all real. And so that's his response to Thomas. Thomas, you believe me because you saw me. You should have believed me even if you hadn't seen like the other 11. Why are you doubting, Thomas? But Thomas, I wouldn't really call him doubting Thomas. Thomas just had the mind that was more... It's not that he doubted, folks. He's more of the mind of reasoning, maybe. No, even more than that. He's probably more of a scientific type of mind. That kind of way... Some people's minds work like that. But eventually you got to come to God by faith. Faith seems so simple, but it's so hard for people. Okay? But when you do, when you come to Christ by faith, then all of a sudden, peace be with you makes sense. Amen? I hope you find rest. If you haven't, it comes through faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord Jesus, you are a mighty, mighty God. I thank you, Father, that all the things we see and hear in your word are true. And Lord, even the statement, peace be with you, is true. Because rest is only found in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to have peace with you. To have access to you because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've done so much for us, even as recorded in John, much more than books could ever record. I can't fathom that you would do so much for such a speck like me. But Lord, you did. I'm not worthy of any of it. That you would show up into my life, into these people's life, into many believers' life, and say, peace be with you. In me you have rest. Lord, it doesn't matter what the world does. Peace is with you. May we always realize that in Jesus' name. Amen.